This is about you.
Victoria Woods.
This is about paying yourself first.
Businesswoman of the Year.
This is about life is full of choices.
Journal Records 50 Most Influential Women.
It's about, it's not what you earn, but what you keep.
White House Conference on Small Business.
It's about education is expensive.
The Journal Record Innovator of the Year.
It's about no risk, no gain.
Founder of Women for Financial Independence.
It's about success.
Sweet success.
Governor's Conference for Women.
Smart girls finish rich.
She's the president and CEO of Chapelwood Financial.
It's about consistency will always outperform occasional brilliance.
And she is the financial diva.
It's about the money, honey.
It's all about the money.
It's all about the money.
Victoria Woods.
Welcome to the weekend and welcome to It's All About the Money, Honey, here on News Radio 1000, KTOK. I'm your host, Damon King. I'm a certified financial planner professional and wealth manager with Chapelwood Financial Services, the sponsor of It's All About the Money, Honey. We hope that you're having a lovely week. It has been a lovely week, hasn't it? Boy, we've gotten a dose of that springtime weather here in Oklahoma. And if you're listening to this in another part of the country, I hope that the weather where you are is starting to turn springish. If this is your first time listening to It's All About the Money, Honey, welcome. We're so happy that you found us. And you're in the right place if you are a millionaire or an aspiring millionaire. Here at Chapelwood Financial, we are advisors, independent investment advisors to millionaires and aspiring millionaires. And we have been doing that work for more than 25 years. And in that time, we have cracked the code on what millionaire families and individuals want for their money and for their lives. Number one, they want to sleep well knowing that they're not going to run out of money. Number two, they want to have the freedom to do what they want. And number three, they want to make a big impact on their families and on the world by leaving a legacy. And that's what we do here at Chapelwood Financial. That's what we help our clients do. All of those things, plus so much more. We help our clients with literally everything. Any financial decision that they're going to have to make, we want to be a part of that. We are our client's personal financial concierge. And that is how we operate here at Chapelwood Financial. It's also why we offer to you here on the radio our Gold Bucket Optimizer. This is really going to give you the biggest bang for your buck, which there's really no bucks involved because it's complimentary. You don't have to pay anything for this. But you're really going to get the most out of it if you have at least $1 million saved in investable assets for retirement. We're talking about cash. Perhaps you have CDs or treasury notes. Perhaps you've got stocks, bonds, mutual funds, anything that is cash or cash-like and can be invested. That's what investable assets are. So if you've saved at least $1 million, this is really going to be of great benefit to you. However, it's for any of you listening to the show right now. If you're an aspiring millionaire and you're getting close to that $1 million level, and you're like, I just need to get that Gold Bucket Optimizer, and then once I'm at a million, I'm ready to talk with Chapelwood. The Gold Bucket Optimizer is going to do three things for you. It's going to help you see where your money is, how much is in cash, how much is protected, how much is invested in the market, how much is in hard assets like real estate or gold or jewelry, a business, oil wells. Number two, once you know where your money is, you're going to be able to see how it's distributed, how much of it is protected, how much of it is very liquid, how much is invested in the market. And then number three, once you know that, you can then make more informed decisions about how to rebalance that wealth. Perhaps you're overweighted in one bucket or another. Maybe you've got too much cash sitting on the sidelines. Maybe you've got too much in the market at risk of loss. The Gold Bucket Optimizer helps you to optimize the distribution of all of your wealth. That's what we offer here. And to get a copy of that, all you have to do, text the word GOLD, G-O-L-D, to 405-348-0909, and you can get your complimentary copy of our Gold Bucket Optimizer. I'm very happy to offer that to you as a listener of It's All About the Money, Honeys. You have heard us say many times on this show, and probably if you've seen us out and about, Victoria and me, or if you've been to some of our classes, anytime we've done live remotes, things like that, you've heard us probably say many times that we view taxes a little differently than many other people. We don't get angry about having a big tax bill. In fact, we rejoice because the bigger our tax bill, the more income we earned. Taxes follow income, right? While we may like having a big tax bill, it doesn't mean we sit idly by and just pay what Uncle Sam tells us to pay. There are ways to reduce your tax bill, and so today we're going to share with you some of our favorite ways to do just that. And then later, we're also going to share why chasing the highest interest rates for your cash may not always be the best idea. And so we've got some interesting things to share with you about that. And today's show is really interesting. Everybody likes to find out ways to reduce your taxes. And depending upon your tax bracket, the types of income you have, and where you live, taxes can eat up anywhere from 15 to near 50% of your total income. If you like earning income, then that means you're going to have to pay taxes. There's no way to get around it. There's not a lot of income that isn't taxed. So if you're going to have to pay taxes, then it stands to reason, well, let's find ways then to minimize that burden. And there are many ways to do that. The tax code taketh, but it giveth. And if you understand how to use the tax code to your advantage, you can find very legal and very efficient ways to minimize your tax burden, especially in retirement, when you are least in a position to pay taxes. You don't have guaranteed income anymore. Your income is only guaranteed to the extent that you have saved money, right? Sure, you're going to have Social Security, perhaps you have a pension, and those are guaranteed income sources. But as far as the bulk of your income, it's probably going to come from the money that you have saved for retirement. And taxes can eat you alive if you don't have a plan for how you're going to minimize their impact. So let's talk about some of the ways that we help our clients to reduce their tax burden. One strategy that you are likely using right now, probably all of you, is using tax deferral. You don't pay the taxes now on the money that you set aside, you pay it later. And so you do this by contributing money from your paycheck into your 401k. You're using tax deferral. You reduce your taxable income today, so you pay less taxes today. Then you allow the money that you set aside in the 401k to grow on a tax-deferred basis. You're not paying taxes on it every year. You don't get a 1099 unless you pull money out. When you pull money out, that is when you pay the tax, right? And the same is true for a traditional IRA. One of the benefits of using tax deferral, in addition to lowering your taxable income now, a lot of people assume that in retirement, when they start withdrawing that money, they're going to be in a lower tax bracket. And that's true for a lot of people. When you retire, you may not have as much income. And so it's very possible that you could fall into a lower tax bracket. So by deferring taxes, you're deferring it to a period of time when you're in a lower tax bracket, and so you're not going to pay as much tax for every dollar that you pull out, if that's true. However, there are two things to keep in mind about that. Number one, it's not a guarantee that you're going to be in a lower tax bracket. People assume that. You may end up deciding, I want to live, I want to maintain my lifestyle. I don't want my paycheck, my income to fall from what I was earning when I was working. And if that's the case, then you're going to stay in the same tax bracket. And then the other issue is this. The taxable income you have, the more of it that you have, the more of your Social Security can be taxed, and the higher your Medicare Part B and D premiums can go. Those, the taxes, and of course on the Medicare, it's not necessarily a tax, but it's a surcharge. It's an additional amount that you pay. Those are triggered by taxable income, your adjusted gross income, or your modified adjusted gross income. And the higher that number is, the more likely it becomes that you're going to pay a higher percentage of your Social Security will be taxed, and the higher your Medicare premiums can go. So tax deferral has a lot of benefits, but it does not necessarily mean that it's perfect. No financial strategy is. But you can use it to lower your taxes today. And if you are in a lower tax bracket in retirement, then you're going to pay less tax for every dollar that you take out than if you had done that when you were still working. Another tax strategy to reduce taxes, using tax-advantaged investment strategies. So things like long-term capital gains as opposed to short-term. Short-term capital gains meaning you sell an asset, and if you held on to that asset for a year or less, that is considered short-term. If you sell it, buy it and sell it within that year or less, that is short-term. Any gain on that will be taxed at your ordinary income tax rate, whatever that is. However, if you hold on to it for at least one more day, a year and a day, or longer, that is considered long-term. And for the vast majority of Americans, the long-term capital gains tax rate is just 15%, which is likely going to be less than your ordinary income tax rate. So if you're going to harvest capital gains, we favor harvesting long-term gains because they're taxed at a lower rate. If you're going to harvest dividends, we tend to favor harvesting qualified dividends. Qualified dividends are also, for most Americans, taxed at a lower 15% rate as opposed to ordinary income tax rate. So when we're looking at tax-advantaged investment strategies for our clients, inside of their taxable accounts, the accounts that they get a 1099 for every year, we are favoring long-term capital gains. We're favoring qualified dividends. Some cases, we're favoring tax-exempt income. And you can get tax-exempt income from municipal bonds. These are bonds that are issued by municipalities, cities. And income on municipal bonds is exempt at the federal level. You pay state income tax if your state has income tax, but you're not going to pay tax at the federal level. So you can save a lot of money on that income. And I really like muni bonds for three reasons. They check off three boxes that we really like inside of an investment account for somebody in retirement. Number one, cash flow. They generate income. Number two, they tend to be less volatile and a more conservative, safer strategy than stocks. And in retirement, it's more likely that you are wanting to reduce the risk that you're taking in your investments, and bonds can certainly help you to do that. And the third thing that they offer is, again, tax minimization, or in this case, tax avoidance completely. It's exempt from federal income tax. So we really like that. Another strategy, and this one sounds kind of, it's counterintuitive. Nobody likes the word loss. Nobody likes hearing, I took losses in my account. However, in a taxable investment account, one that you get a 1099 for, we're not talking about an IRA. This is a brokerage account or some other kind of account that you get a 1099 for capital gains and income. You can actually harvest losses as a tax minimization strategy. When you harvest losses, you can recognize a capital gain when you sell. You can also recognize a capital loss when you sell. And those losses can be used to offset gains. They cancel each other out. So if you've got a lot of capital gains in your account, you can actually work with your investment strategist, your investment advisor, to harvest losses on asset classes or stocks or bonds that you were probably going to sell anyway. And that's a strategy that we use here at Chapelwood Financial throughout the year to provide some tax efficiency for our clients to minimize the impact of capital gains. If they've got $5,000 in capital gains, if we can harvest $5,000 in losses, those cancel each other out and they won't owe any taxes. The IRS does allow you to claim on your tax return each year up to $3,000 in capital losses without having gains to offset them. You can have an unlimited amount of losses so long as you've got gains equivalent to offset them. But if you don't have gains to offset it, the most you can write off in losses in a given year, capital losses, is $3,000. But it is a great tax efficiency strategy that we use here. What about using tax-free income? Now, that's some of my favorite income. So that would be distributions from Roth accounts, whether it's a Roth IRA, a Roth 401k. Now, when you contribute that money to the Roth, you are paying the tax. You're just paying it up front instead of deferring the tax. A traditional IRA, you put the money in, you defer the tax to a later date. You put the money into a Roth IRA, you pay the tax now, but then later on, that growth that the IRA gets is tax-free, so that when you start taking money out of that Roth in retirement, the original money you put in plus the growth is tax-free. free. And that is fantastic in retirement, because now if you've got a nice bucket of Roth money, you are pulling the same cash flow out that you need, but in this case, you're not paying taxes on that. And guess what? Those Roth distributions, since they're not taxable, they don't really count as part of your adjusted gross income, and as a result, they don't count towards taxing more of your Social Security. They don't count towards increasing your Medicare premiums. So Roth distributions can be a great tax minimization strategy, as well as helping to minimize costs and taxes on other areas of your retirement. What about this? Now, this is a strategy that I don't see a lot of people use, but it is available. You can actually borrow against certain life insurance policies. And there's a particular kind of insurance out there called Indexed Universal Life, or IUL. It is possible to fund a life insurance policy like this with cash. Let's say you've got $250,000 in cash, and you want to protect that money, and you want to try to earn, you know, a reasonable return, a moderate return of maybe 4 to 5% over time. But later on, you want to access that cash. One of these indexed universal life policies, later on, once it's fully funded, you want to pull money out of it. Now, if you pull the money out as cash value, you're going to pay taxes on it. But instead, you can take a loan against that policy, and those loans are tax-free. You don't pay tax on them. Now, what happens if you pass away and you haven't repaid the loan? Well, that loan amount that is outstanding would go against the death benefit that your family receives. However, most of the people that I see employ this strategy are not using the life insurance for the death benefit. You know, their family has other money that they're going to get. They're not holding on to this particular life insurance policy for the death benefit. They're stashing the cash away for tax deferral, because the cash value, the growth, is tax deferred until you pull it out. But they don't plan to pull it out. They plan to take loans against the policy, and those loans are tax-free. Now, again, this is not a strategy for everybody. Nothing that we talk about on the show is for everybody. There's no financial strategy on earth that's for everybody. We're simply sharing with you one strategy that is available for generating tax-efficient income in retirement. Here's something else you can do. If you have a high deductible health insurance plan, you can contribute to what's called a health savings account. And a health savings account allows you to set aside money up to $4,150 for individuals, up to $8,300 for families in 2024. Those are the 2024 amounts. You put that money in the HSA. When you make that contribution, it helps to reduce your, you get a tax deduction for that, all right, for that amount up to the limit. Later on, if you use that money for qualified medical expenses, which count for a lot of different, there's a lot of different things out there that you can use this for, medical expenses, those distributions are tax-free. You don't pay tax on that money. So imagine saving all this money in a health savings account. You get to retirement. I've got some clients that got, you know, $50,000, $60,000 or more in their HSAs. So as they go to the doctor, they retire, they go to the doctor, they don't pay for the doctor visit or the surgery or whatever it is out of their checking account. They use the health savings account because it's tax-free. That way it preserves their other money to live on and have fun and that sort of thing. Now, if you put money into an HSA, you get the tax deduction. What if you use that money for non-medical expenses? Well, you're going to pay income tax on that distribution. If you just use it, some of the money to go buy a car, you're going to pay income tax on that. In addition, if you were to do that before the age of 65, not only would you pay income tax on that distribution, you would be penalized 20%. However, beginning at the age of 65, you can actually pull money out of the HSA and use it for non-medical expenses, and you avoid the 20% penalty. So the 20% penalty goes away starting at the age of 65. Now, you're still going to pay income tax on it because it's a non-medical expense. However, there are a lot of people that utilize the HSA almost like just another tax-deferred retirement account once they get into retirement. I'm not suggesting that that's the strategy you should employ, But if you've maxed out your 401k, you've maxed out your IRA, and you're looking for other places to put tax-deferred money for a while, an HSA could be one of those. And I wouldn't just do this just for that. I would make sure that you're doing it with the intent of using it for medical expenses. But it is another strategy. Something else that's kind of cool, you starting at age 65, if you go on Medicare, once you go on Medicare, you can't contribute to the HSA anymore once you're on Medicare. However, starting at 65, you go on Medicare, you can actually use the money in the HSA to pay your Medicare Part B and D premiums. So instead of having those amounts withheld from your Social Security check, you could take them out of the HSA, use tax-free money to pay for that, and preserve your Social Security money for living, having fun. So that's kind of a cool thing. And then finally, this is one of my favorite strategies for people who are in their 70s and beyond in retirement. You can actually donate your required minimum distributions through what's called a qualified charitable distribution. You can donate up to $105,000 in required distributions in the year 2024. And that amount gets indexed for inflation each year thereafter. The great thing about a qualified charitable distribution is this. It counts as your required distribution that you must take by the end of the year. However, if you donate it directly to a charitable organization, meaning the money is sent from your IRA custodian directly to the charity, you never touch the money and the check is not made out to you, it will not count as taxable income to you. And you can donate up to $105,000 in 2024. Why would you do this? We have many clients that have plenty of income coming from other sources like oil royalties, or a business, pensions. They don't need that income, but they have to take it or else they get penalized. So we use a qualified charitable distribution to qualify for their RMD, but not recognize that as taxable income. So those are a few tax-efficient strategies we like to use. Now, we have other ways of doing this, and we actually have a special service called Tax Management Services that we can bring to bear for our clients. And we want to offer something special to you that could potentially save you thousands of dollars in taxes over time. If you have a taxable investment account and you've been thinking about liquidating it and reinvesting it somewhere else, maybe you want to consolidate it down, or maybe you're just not satisfied with the investment strategy you have and you want to look at maybe having somebody else take a look at this and seeing what could be done with it. If you were to move that account, you're going to have to, unless you can transfer it in kind, meaning you transfer the actual assets, more than likely you're going to have to liquidate those assets before you can move it. And when you do that, you're probably going to trigger a whole bunch of unrealized capital gains and you're going to have a big tax bill. Instead, what if you had a plan for liquidating that account over time in a tax-efficient way? And then later on, what if that account was managed to be completely tax efficient so that ongoing, it reduces the likelihood that you're going to have taxes for capital gains, dividends, things like that? We actually have the ability to perform an analysis through our tax management services on that account for you. And depending upon your personal tax sensitivity, we can estimate how much you could save in capital gains taxes by utilizing our strategy. Later on, when you open the account with us, we can continue to use those tax management services on that account to stay tax efficient. And you're also going to get a monthly report that shows the impact of those tax savings on your investment account. Is that something that you would like to have? We can offer that to you here at Chapelwood Financial. To qualify for this special offer, this tax analysis, what would happen if you were to liquidate that account and move it over? You must have a taxable account, first of all. Otherwise, doesn't matter. We can't do anything with it. It can't be an IRA. It has to be a taxable account. And it needs to be at least $500,000. That's what this analysis is designed for, to show you the true impact of the tax savings you could recognize. If you qualify and you've got a taxable investment account and it's at least $500,000 and you would like to see this tax analysis and performed on your account and how much it could save you in taxes over time, text the word TAX, T-A-X, to 405-348-0909, and we will contact you to gather some information and begin your tax analysis. This is a really cool tool. I love it. It shows you, as I said, how much tax could be saved over time when you move the account over, and later on, how much money could be saved in taxes over time, depending upon how sensitive you want to be on the taxes. So it's a really awesome tool that we now have access to here at Chapelwood Financial, and we'd be happy to share that with you as well. Real quick here, let's talk about interest rates. And specifically, a lot of you have been moving your money around a lot. Anytime you have cash on hand, you've probably been thinking, well, I'm going to see who has the best CD rates out there, or who has the best savings accounts. And we've had a lot of clients that have been shopping their cash, their savings accounts, around the different banks, trying to capture the best interest rates. And right now, interest rates are at the highest that they've been in years. So it does mean that you're getting paid a lot more just to sit on your cash. So, you know, if you've got $200,000 or $300,000 in cash, absolutely, let's go try to find a great interest rate. However, chasing interest rates by moving from one institution to another, that may not necessarily be the best idea. What is the value of your time? When you move bank accounts, it's pretty easy to do that, but it takes time, and time costs you money. And it's important to weigh whether or not the time invested in shopping your cash around is worth the effort. So, for example, if you've got $10,000 in your emergency fund and it's making 4.75% at your current bank, and then later on you notice, hey, there's a new bank down the road, they're offering 5.5%. Seems like a smart move, right? Why wouldn't I want to do that? Well, let's do the math. That extra 0.75% that you're going to make on the $10,000 will be $75 a year. You open the new account, you authenticate it, you move the money, you make sure the old account gets emptied, and then you close the old account. And then during tax season, you have to remember to get the 1099 from the old account because you still had some interest before you moved it. And then you're going to have a 1099 from the new account. I mean, how much time does all this take for you? Even if it runs perfectly smoothly, it's going to take a couple of hours, plus, you know, all your brain energy and getting on the phone and all that. To do all that work, you made about $37.50 per hour, minus the taxes that you're going to have to pay on the increase in earnings. So again, is chasing interest rates the smart thing to do? If you're doing it maybe once, maybe it's not that big a deal. But if you're constantly doing it, it takes time, right? It takes time to do all that and to deal with all that. And sometimes the extra little juice that you're going to get isn't worth the squeeze. So before you start jumping around trying to find the best interest rate, think about how much time is this going to take and how much investment of energy am I willing to make. And also, by the way, keep in mind, the more you move your money around, you've got all these different accounts. Later on, if something happens to you, if your family doesn't know where your money is, and you moved it around to like seven different banks, they're going to have to track all that down. And if you didn't keep very good records, they're not going to know where that money is. And they may not be able to find, you know, the $300,000 you had stashed away in some random bank somewhere. So again, I'm a big fan of trying to find a higher interest rate. I'm not such a big fan of doing that to the extent that you're constantly having to deal with it. It just takes up a lot of time and, you know, squeeze out an extra 0.5%. Is it even worth it? I don't know. I guess it just depends. Well, thank you so much for listening. We hope that you enjoyed today's show. Hope that you got a lot out of it, a lot of education. And again, if you would like to have that tax analysis on your taxable investment account, and it's at least $500,000, text the word tax, T-A-X, to 405-348-0909. A member of our advisory team will contact you. We're going to have to gather some information, ask a few questions, and then we can begin your tax analysis. Be happy to do that for you. Until next time, I'm going to leave you with the Financial Diva's very best advice. Don't take advice from broke people. Physically, financially, or spiritually.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. I salute the flag of the state of Oklahoma. Its symbols of peace unite all people.
Always consult with your investment professional before making important investment decisions. Before investing in any product, consider your investing goals, time horizon, and risk tolerance, and the product's investment objectives, options, risks, charges, and expenses. Contact Chapelwood Financial Services for the product's prospectus or equivalent document and read it carefully.